Under the Bridge. This is some female heavy hitters we got with this.
Sure is.
This limited series, right?
Yes.
Executive produced by Samir Mehta, which one of our favorites from Hulu, Tell Me Lies, and Liz Taylor, who are co-show running, based on the book, the nonfiction true story by Rebecca Godfrey, adapted by Quinn Shepherd.
Yep.
EPs are Godfrey, Stacey Silverman, and the director of the show, Gita V. Patel. I mean,
yeah, might have checked a few of our boxes and then some.
I mean, if we hadn't covered this, it might have been upsetting.
Yes. Yeah. And as you pointed out on our Friday preview, all the characters in it are principally women.
The detective, the reporter, the victim, the psychopaths, the teenage girls, like the whole thing is just populated by the female women persuasion.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Behaving badly, behaving well, doesn't matter. They're doing the full range of things.
In love, in grief, in hate, in anger, in all of it. We see, the full range in the show.
This is all we ask for, really, people in shows. Is it too much to ask? Well, apparently it is many times, but not with Under the Bridge.
Yes. Not
and maybe thrown a few, like, you know, Oscar winner Lily Gladstone, Riley Keough. I mean, some real heavy hitter actresses playing these parts. I mean,
and they're shining.
Yes,
in my opinion, they are absolutely shining. Yeah, coming through. So based on a true story, which is very disturbing, makes it more disturbing to me to watch. And then part of the tragedy of all of this is that Rebecca Godfrey passed away just a couple of years ago at the very young age of 54. So,
get to see this come to life, her book.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it followed the murder of a young girl named Rena Virk. And that's what her book was about. I did not read the book. I do like to note that, because I've seen some articles about some differences. But I have not read it.
Yeah.
But thinking that this is based in truth is, as you said, even more disturbing.
It is. It is. Yeah. And what I have the book, I started the book when a few years ago when I found out it was going to be optioned. And even before I had my, just wait so you don't get spoiled, I don't know what happened. I think I moved. I think I moved. And then the book got kind of misplaced. But they are doing with the show kind of what we've heard Three Women will be doing, which is putting in Rebecca, because she's not in the book, right? Yeah, she is the one writing it. And so for the show, they've given her a character, the reporter come to life kind of idea based on her, which Riley Keough looks a lot like her. It's a little disturbing. So
I think I like this technique. I mean, I know I've heard of it with Three Women, but that they're going to do that, but loving it. Yeah.
Loving it.
And then the interplay between her and Lily Gladstone's character. Oh.
It's
like the layers within the layers.
Yes. I'm loving the way the story is structured and unfolding. So we start out with Riley Keough, Rebecca, character, coming back home to Victoria, British Columbia. And we see the scene with her parents, I thought, was so good right to start, right? Their mother's like busying herself. You can tell it's a little awkward. And then her mother says, no one's forcing you to write about Victoria. And she says, well, I can't seem to think about anything else, which
that line,
just a great line, right?
Yeah, I love that line. I love even right before it, the voiceover, which really, I think, sets the stage for it, about this is the opposite of a fairy tale on its face. And then when they say, which I know people have talked about, sort of everyone's sort of now re-looked at fairy tales and flipped them on their head and everything. But,
sure.
you know, she said, but only if you consider what a fairy tale is really about. Girls punished for selfishness or for no reason at all. Tales of horror, of wonder, innocence or beauty, violence or sin. And the danger everywhere. Beware the troll under the bridge. I mean, so good. Like right from the beginning, I'm like, oh, this is where are we going?
Yes. And you just get the sense there's going to be a real unflinching look. Wherever we're going, it's going to be an unflinching look at it.
And even in that scene, then right away, you're saying with her parents, we also know that, you know, something has personally happened to her, to Rebecca, that this isn't just going to be the story of Rena, but that infused into it will be a trauma that she experienced, her family experienced, because it's clear she lost a brother. I mean, you don't know at that moment, but she says to her parents, you know, that's what Gabe liked, not me. Yeah, and you're like, and you haven't been here in 10 years.
Yes.
So something happened to you, we think, right away, which is why you stayed away. And obviously we learn what that is, that, that she did lose her brother.
So, by the end of these three. Yeah. Yes. But, and it was a sad and harsh moment where the dad's like, oh, breakfast for dinner, wasn't that your thing? Mm. And she's like, no, it was dinner for breakfast, and that was Gabe's thing.
Yeah.
So obviously the family has been torn apart by this and have allowed it to stay that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the girls.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
And that's what she also says right there. You know, I'm writing a book about the misunderstood girls of Victoria. And that's what this is going to be principally about. And like you said, she can't stop thinking about it. And I think part of this we'll see is her seeing some of herself in them, in this, and clearly her growing up a girl in Victoria is really coloring her then investigation. Hers is more a book, but of these girls.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. Yes. And you also hear that in the beginning, that young girls in Victoria were the ones we were supposed to protect, not be the ones we were supposed to be protected from. And so these are, these are girls, both predator and victim in a way.
Yeah. And prey.
Yes.
You said misunderstood, but I think by no one more than themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. You know, and this is such an interesting thing. I think we talk about a lot, or I think about a lot. Do we know in some ways we know ourselves the best when we are, you know, graduating high school, because there is, you know enough, but you haven't been kind of jaded. The outside world hasn't put its influence too much on you, hasn't made its mark too much. And yet you know yourself as well as you're going to in the safety of a home. And yet we often think we know what we want, or think we know who we are and what we should be and how we want to move into the world. And it's really wrong. So it's that tension between, in some ways, you know yourself the best you'll ever know yourself at 18. And in some ways you are so wrong about who you are and what you want to be at 18.
Yeah, because it's true.
And,
like,
and we're watching that. Yeah,
because it's like the conditioning maybe hasn't gone into you yet that might happen for the rest of your life. But also the experience and some of the learning that you will get as you age. So it's a very... That's why there are so many, you know, I'm thinking of Yellow Jackets, but it's such a ripe time period in a woman, girl's life to be exploring. And there's a lot of emotions and really raw. And it's just, it makes for a good story. And in this case, I mean, a tragic story.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. So Joe is absolutely obsessed with the mafia and gangs and Gotti. And which is all, you know, she's really trying to be hard. This is misunderstood by herself. She's trying to be hard. She wants to be invulnerable, impenetrable, and yet really anyone with a modicum of any awareness just see she's desperate to belong to anything, to anyone. And it's so hard. That's so
true
hard.
of a lot of the girls. I mean, this desperation to belong for different reasons. Rena is, you know, was a prime example. I mean, she ends up, you know, being killed for essentially, though, just wanting to fit in and wanting to be a part of this group. And then also struggling, you know, with her own family and her identity and being Indian and why that makes her an other. And like, she's the one with a family. And yet these other girls living at Seven Oaks don't have that. And yet in some ways, I think she's envious of them because she thinks they belong in a way that she doesn't.
Yeah.
When really, like you said, they all are struggling with that. No, none of them have it figured out or anything. But they're the big girls. Disposable.
And so
lighter.
That's right. Which
right in the beginning
we hear right when Rebecca gets to, when she gets there and she sees that they've been pulled down to the station and they're being questioned. And we hear the reference a few times and then it's explained, yes, BIC, because they're disposable. You know, I thought the kind of mass arrest and questioning, I thought was interesting. It seemed a little messy. Yeah. But I feel like that is actually what small town police is like, more than, you know, some of the more polished scenes, the really important scenes we've seen in other detective shows. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know, this is really what it's like. Somebody's yelling over here. The phone is ringing. Can she walk by?
And it also was a way to kind of let us see everyone kind of together to learn who was who a little bit. Who has parents? Who doesn't, right? Who has someone that they can call and come, and who doesn't? Which, you know, so, and then it also allowed, like you're saying, the familiarity of what we're dealing with in small town USA, like the fact that Rebecca can just come, she suddenly sees, oh, it's Cam. Yeah. It's like, it's Bud. And her brother. Oh yeah. So I can just walk right past and I know where I'm just going to go downstairs and I know what, you know, so it did give a lot of flavor for the small town thing. And even just the fact that there's brother, sister, which we see right before that we know that Cam is dealing with her dad being the chief and her brother, and that she has aspirations for more, but that that just adds, as we've talked about,
to get
times,
out
the
of this
family
town
of origin, like struggles where, like, not being taken seriously or your brother or your father see you one way and they'll never see you any other way. And so we see the Cam is bumping up against that dynamic of wanting more but them seeing her a certain way. So we get a lot right away.
Yeah, I know. And there's a lot of heavy, I mean, I say heavy, but it's not, I don't mean that in a negative way, because they know what they can give us and then dangle around. And then what we're really looking for is not what they're giving us. So it's a great, they do a great job of disseminating information, but they're, and I, even by the end of three, do we know for what is Cam's family situation?
No.
Do we know
so.
For sure? Anything. Yeah. Right.
I am Patty Callahan Henry.
I am Mary Kay Andrews.
I'm Kristen Harbell.
And I'm Christy Whitson Harvey.
Friends in Fiction is led by four longtime friends, the four of us, with more than 75 published books between us.
Through in-depth conversations and interviews, we discuss the books we've written, the books we're reading, and the art of storytelling.
We're here with endless stories to support indie bookstores, authors, librarians, and readers just like you.
We are always seeking innovative ways to introduce dynamic voices and trends in publishing.
On this channel, you will find hundreds of episodes with some of your favorite authors, including the four of us with our new releases, as we reveal the stories behind the stories, offer writing tips, and talk about the creation of novels, memoirs, and nonfiction titles.
So, if you love books and you're curious about the writing world, you are in the right place.
You can listen to Friends and Fiction on any major streaming platform.
Okay. Because there's the line about in Anchorage, women, they're really big like, on
affirmative action type stuff.
You know, like yeah, those kind of
like I think like meaning yeah, you'll be
right. That's
which
what it was.
I just
right.
saw
okay,
her dad
okay.
being an a-hole. Yeah. Like yeah, just yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of course, but it intends to tell us something about her situation. And then she was at Seven Oaks herself. So,
I had the
thought she was
okay.
adopted.
That's possible, but
yeah. But I don't. Know. Yeah, it's not clear.
I don't
and
know.
Even at
and
the end
Rebecca
of three,
say,
I don't
when
think
she
it's
first
very
goes to interview the girls. I had a friend growing up that lived in Seven Oaks, so maybe she's the friend. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but maybe that was her yeah. friend.
Well, she says she mm-hmm. lived there. She says when I was there, yeah. the. Yeah.
Definitely
oh, yeah.
Friends.
Oh, yeah. Well, we learned that by mm-hmm. the third episode.
yeah.
yeah. Right. Because she mm-hmm. talks about the curfew, which I thought was a very right. clever way of doing it, that the curfew has changed since she was there. So I don't know, but it was also confusing because he also talked about like wanting to get her all the dolls or
yeah,
stuff when she
I
was little
know.
And so when was she at Seven
there's
Oaks?
A lot of it, I mean the jumping
I don't know.
Around
I don't
yeah. with the flashbacks yeah. and the, yeah. again it did remind me a little bit of Yellow Jackets, but that was like more clearly like two different timelines, whereas this I feel like it's just more like these flashbacks.
Yes.
It took a little time to know all the names for me of the girls
yeah.
and who's who and who has parents and who doesn't have parents and all of that. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of players involved.
Yeah. 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 And then episode two, we're really starting to now we're not just wondering about Cam and her story, but now Cam and Rebecca, and it is not clear, mm-hmm. but it is, they're really teasing out what is the history, what they share the tragedy, you're thinking they were friends, what else? Mm-hmm. And again, by the end of episode three, we know that it was romantic, or intimate relationship, physically intimate.
Oh,
and
the
so,
tension.
But they do a really good job of holding that
yeah, because
space
the tension,
and that tension.
I thought I had something
until,
to do, as you're
until
saying,
it
with
comes
the shared
out
tragedy with her brother,
three.
Gabe, because yes. Rebecca's dad asks, there's a picture of the three of them when they were
Gabe.
Little.
Gabe.
Oh, yep. Was mm-hmm. there something between Cam and Gabe? Like, oh, maybe they
yeah.
dated.
Yeah.
And that would explain, you know, that would still be a connection for them. They each lost someone they cared about.
Yeah.
But yeah, as the tension was building, I was like, oh, no, we're going to go in a different direction here.
Yeah. There's something more
yeah.
there. And even at that moment, Rebecca says right away, no,
yeah,
I would have
love
known
a good dance
was.
Scene. And I thought they were going to.
But yeah. But
yeah.
Like, okay.
But,
well, what is it then?
Cam pulled back. Small town USA. It's not going to start dancing with the girl in front of everyone at the bar. But yeah.
Yeah.
By the end of three, they're fully
yeah.
reconnecting. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're falling back into it. That's right. That's right. That's right. But, we also get in episode two, it's Rena's birthday, and no one is acknowledging it because that's when we learn they're Jehovah's Witness. They don't celebrate their birthdays. And then the mom says, like, such a chilling thing, obviously,
yeah.
which is not intended to forecast her death, but that the day you die is more celebrate,
yes.
more to celebrate than the day you're
and
born.
And we start getting there because that's where some of these flashbacks happen. A little bit more
given
about her
what we know.
At home and the tensions with yeah. parents and that she's run away in the past, you know, dad biz. Definitely get, it's interesting the yeah. dynamic between her mom and dad and,
yes.
Which does become an issue by the end of three, that her dad had this criminal record that he expunged. And so, but he wouldn't go down by the body. And, you know, they thought it was weird that the mom would. And then you've got the uncle. I mean, so there's a lot happening. Just Rena home life background aspect
yeah.
of the story that is still dangling some things here.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think just a little bit more than the normal average teen Definitely. Experience, rebellion, right? Strict parents, rebellious teenage daughter. There's a little bit, there are a few more layers here than just that here. But we see Rena kind of get, fall under Joe's spell. Mm-hmm. Joe and her, you know, mm-hmm. they meet at the grocery store.
Yes.
And
yes.
Steals something, and it's just exciting enough to Rena to think, okay, sort of I want to, this is what I'm looking for in my life. Like some petty
it's
theft.
It's exciting to her.
You know, like, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And it feels exciting, but safe still at that time. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they lead us in this episode down the path of Josephine really being involved. And who leads us down there is Joe herself.
Yeah.
Right?
Why wouldn't you?
She is confessing mm-hmm. to pushing her off the bridge. And it's intense.
Yeah, she
it's
was
intense
horrified.
Because you're believing it at this point. And Dusty's reaction was really devastating.
Right.
She like,
right.
oh my gosh, horrified and sad and like, confused, basically. Like I thought this was all just pretend.
You know,
and what are we doing?
They've all
she's
sitting
on the beach and
under
she's
the
like
bridge
throwing
there,
the sand.
Girls, so
that
and,
was,
and obviously
really
she
powerful.
Knew that
my stomach
Joe
was like
sort of ordered this
hurting.
Like beat down of her. But they, but we've already by that point seen, you know, Warren get beat the crap out of him, and it, they see violence. They this okay, yeah, they're you right?
Yes.
They've. This is, they don't live in like La La Land. I mean, they live in a pretty gritty situation. Yeah. And
although that's in episode
I think
three.
She
but
like
yes,
Joe,
but yes, certainly Dusty.
I think this
yeah,
is like,
they know
I,
this.
We went
yeah.
too far. Like, this is the moment where she's like, what is happening? This is not what I thought this was. And she was close with Rena. It, you know, you see that from other flashbacks too, that they were probably the closest of the group. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. The foursome, yeah. And then the whole group, yeah. Yeah. But Cam is on to Dusty, who's been making prank calls from the empty house. And so she gets it out of her. And this is where I really love the way that the narrative splits, even in present time when she is talking to Dusty and then she gets the CCTV. And then at the same time, Rebecca is getting the information, the true confession from Joe herself. And then we also get Joe's reaction to seeing that Rena is actually dead. And so you're like split even in different narratives because you don't know who to trust. Joe is actually lying to us, and Rena is lying to her parents, and Rena's mom is pocketing things, and we don't know. And Rebecca's clearly hiding stuff, and her parents won't talk about anything, and Cam is stonewalling us. And so everyone is unreliable from our perspective, and we don't know who or what to trust. And so having those dual narratives reveal the same information at the same time. Gives us, okay, so we know it's not Joe, but what is going on here? That was a really powerful ending to that episode, I thought.
Oh, that was so I don't know if disconcerting is the right word. It was unsettling.
And when you think about Rebecca like, just being going along,
like, no,
I know,
no,
I just,
like,
I could never be a reporter.
Because there's the line.
Never.
You know, and I'm like, and there's, but then you're like, but there is no line, right?
Yeah.
Like, there should be a line.
Very.
But then you see her, like when she was laying on the bed with them and smoking a cigarette, I'm like, do you think you're one of them? But are you just pretending
there's
to be
no
one
line
of them? But there has to be this blur.
Reporter
like we're saying where even she doesn't know. But you, the viewer, certainly don't know. Like, do you realize you're supposed to be there as like the adult in the room as a journalist? Because I don't know that you do anymore.
No. Yeah. Yeah, and she has to go along with it for her own story, for her own, you know, wanting to. But then also, Joe is threatening her, like, you're not allowed, you have to come to this party with us because you can't rat me out. And she's playing along, but she's also seems freaked out. She tries to call Cam, as we know from this
live, because the camera party shows her walking away, and that's what Cam delivers to the parents. As you know, time stamped as of this time, she was alive. Then by the end of two, they find the body. So now we know this has gone in a different direction. And like you said, you've got Josephine admitting it, but what does that mean? Because she later just takes that back.
Yes, we know.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And we know she can't because at the end of two, they've set her up as the killer, even though we don't have a body yet. So they keep both of those ties open, but we know
that's the beginning
first of
three.
Joe's
racing back to
they
see
on the TV.
She
was like,
times
she's
it right.
Dead. Like, it's a genuine reaction.
And then she realizes she couldn't have done it.
But it is a genuine
reaction. So now we're like,
and at the same time, Cam is doing the math.
Which makes sense because we knew by the end of two, we wouldn't have six more episodes. But although by the end of three, I guess we know. This Kelly. Kelly with the shoes. Yeah. She stole the shoes. Warren definitely saw it. They were setting us up for Warren with the bloody clothes.
You think she killed her?
And then at the end when he's telling her with that song,
I don't know. I was thinking more Warren.
I saw 187, which
I
guess
I don't think it will ultimately be, but I think they were setting us up for that.
He was admitting that he was at least there or knew more than he was letting on. But I thought we were setting it up the Kelly, which I guess this part I did read is different than the book, which the book, you know, real life facts. So they clearly changed this for dramatic effect, or that it was in the story. Joe and Dusty were involved in stealing the boots. And here it is just Kelly and Joe and Dusty clearly by the end are also surprised.
Wait, like, they changed what?
Why are these here? You know? Yeah. And then she's got that smile on Kelly. So they're more directly placing
just Kelly. Okay.
At least responsibility for the boots on Kelly versus, which.
Why are these in your closet?
You know, we'll see where that goes, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we have more to go, so.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm guessing they're going to give us a new person every episode until we get what. Yeah. And I think, I mean, Connor Fields has really not even had anything pinned on him yet. And I think that is a big piece of it, too. Yeah. Yeah. So do we want to talk about Warren? We get a lot of Warren in three. Doesn't have a good home life. His dad is gone. Yeah. We don't know where his mom is. He's locked out of his trailer. He's doing laundry at his girlfriend's house. He's just asking for food at the diner. Again, a certain kind of small town realism really brought to life here. As opposed to, like, I'm thinking of Mayor of Easttown, maybe could have been the same kind of vibe, but they don't show any of that. And so I really enjoy watching
this. And him and Rebecca
kind of
share that moment.
Having the town
the
be
diner
more of an aspect
that is, where a lot of this
just
is revealed.
Investigation.
That, I mean, he's
this
basically
is about
living alone.
A life,
he's
a place.
Kid.
How it is.
You know, it's a lot of these kids, it's like clearly not making the best choices, but what they're surviving. I mean, that really trying to figure out how to survive. Yeah. And so, we saw, like I said, I guess that was two, where he got the crap beat out of him as this initiation into the CMP. Yeah. Okay.
And but certainly no one anyway, is modeling now the choices for them. So,
Crip Mafia Cartel, CMC or whatever. Well, yes, he was in the three. Crip. The girls, Josephine and them, were like, this is bullshit. Matter. They won't let the women in.
Yes.
So I like that. They start their own.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this is what Warren.
Well, that's the girl version.
And the girls, I mean, this
the
is
guys
what
they're,
are just
they're the
living Crips. In. So, I mean.
Yes.
It's rough.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is rough. It is. But as far as the investigation goes, we now have the body and we have the coroner looking at it and medical examiner kind of, I know this was tough to watch, right? And she says the official cause of death is drowning, but she probably could not have lived with the injuries that she sustained from a beating. Now, we know that she walked away from that under the bridge incident.
I think she was, but I think as viewers of a show, a true crime, I think we're wondering.
The coroner says injuries consistent with a car crash.
So there's a second thing that we haven't seen, right? Because she did walk away from the under the bridge incident. And
we're wondering.
The coroner's point was these injuries are consistent with someone who would not be able to walk. What's happened to her? So clearly, something happened later, which is why Cam's father comes up with the theory that maybe it was the dad. And so that's why I was saying this poor guy. I say poor guy. Maybe he doesn't see, like it to me. And then the uncle or the nephew does say he didn't do this.
Would not have been able to get help.
Like, so, but still, that's still a thread that's out there. But we have plenty of suspects, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know, right? Hey. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. It's done very well
really
in that
well done.
Way.
I like the braid.
I know that the book
is
written
like
from like multiple points of view. Like she goes into the backstories of each of these people in depth. So we're getting that, but it's much more braided and much more, it's all happening at one time. And I think it's really, really well done. Yeah.
It is.
Yes.
And the acting.
And revealing things at the right
stellar.
Time. It's the hardest part about
that
writing
between,
you know, mystery or
and Riley
suspense
Keough
is knowing what to reveal and when.
Guarded,
and
but also like magnets to other.
It's very hard to do. And this is doing
it
exceptionally
well.
Actresses.
I mean,
in my opinion.
It's very well done.
Yeah.
Very well done. So from top to bottom.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so glad you said that because I did want to make that point that this is something we could, I mean, we could look it up for sure. And even when we cover fiction adaptations,
I'm hooked.
We
and
can
I,
look up or read
that,
the
like,
book and see
a lot
how
of
it
people
ends.
Must
they
know
change those.
What
you know?
Happened?
This isn't
but
one,
I don't. And I'm loving figuring it out.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I do think that thing I pointed out is a small change. That's just to maybe, we're not changing the fundamental facts here of a true story. Like somebody different died. No, like, so we could look this up, but why would we do that?
Yeah.
I mean, we're not going to do it.
Right. I don't think they can really change this. So. This is, I agree.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we... I don't think so.
Right. No.
I think there's five more, right? Is there eight?
I'm enjoying watching it unfold.
But we'll be back.
It's definitely has me at the edge of my seat. It is really well done in that way. Anything else we missed? And how many more do we have? Okay. I'm ready. Yes, we will. Under the bridge.